Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, Dad.
Hello, Ruth.
If you tune in for the first time, this is Ruthie, You Need Dad and Me. I'm Ruth, and this is Dad.
It certainly is.
And we're talking all about what I've got up to in the week, week 7 of university. Though it feels like a lot longer and a lot shorter all at the same time.
Yes, we ought to explain you're at the University of York studying French and Spanish.
Studying French and Spanish. I'm doing French post-A-level and Spanish from scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the University of York. And I'm living on campus. It's campus university and it's also collegiate, so I'm inside Vanbrugh College.
Yeah, a lot of people said Vanbrugh College. Somebody said it was when you were sort of looking on Facebook before you got your room at Vanbrugh College. A lot of people said Vanbrugh's rubbish, but
no, it's not. Everyone says whatever college they're not in is rubbish.
Right.
The ones that are on there's two campuses at York. Campus East and Campus West. I'm on Campus West. And everyone who's on Campus West says the other ones on Campus West are rubbish. But the only one that really is bad is Alcuin, because it's right near the library and apparently it's really boring.
Well, that's a bit of a useful tip for anybody going to the University of York.
But unless you like quiet time.
You're not having a quiet time, though, because you're always going out. But you're going to tell me about that shortly.
Of course I will.
Tell me about your crush, because that's your big thing.
Yes. So, your crush, if you don't know, this is every week. I'm going to pick out my favourite your crush. Your crush is like Craigslist Lonely Hearts Club. And it's where people can post anonymously who they've got a bit of a crush on or who they fancy or whatever. And this one was, I think, my favourite one of this week. KS. I would get with you straight away if you didn't smell so bad. Have a shower, smelly boy.
Yes, that's a real turn on.
Yeah, just completely weird. My other favourite one, it's awkward timing and we can't do anything, but I really like you and you're all I think about. Please spend more time with me. Unless I did that one last week. It's my all-time favourite. So if you've not heard it, enjoy it. The first thing I want to talk to you about was I had a presentation in French to do this week. It was about economic patriotism or something like that. It was very boring. It was about the economy and stuff.
But it was really our economy or the French economy?
The French economy. About how the government encourages the French to buy French produce. It's not interesting at all.
But it's mildly interesting, the French, because they are very patriotic, about especially about their food. It was ages before McDonald's were allowed into France.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a few McDonald's in France now, mainly on the main roads, but not that
there's
many.
Still, not compared to the globalisation of Britain or whatever. It is interesting, but I'm just saying it's didn't set my heart on fire when I had to do this presentation, but I prepared all my presentation. I was really, really nervous about it.
It's in French.
In French, yeah. It's a 2 to 3 minute presentation and then a minute of questions. It's in front of the whole class as well, so it's quite nerve-wracking.
How many of you are there?
So in my seminar group, there's about 12 to 15 people or something. So not enough for it not to be scary because you can't really see anyone or whatever and not just one-on-one. I think it's quite a scary number. And I was really, really nervous. I prepared all my presentation and I started to just, we didn't have to learn it off by heart, but you wanted to kind of be able to look at your notes, but then be able to interact with the other people in the room or whatever. So I started to do that and my flatmates were helping me and I was just speaking it to them and then they would be like, oh, slow down, even though they couldn't understand what I was saying, but practicing it with them, really nervous.
Do you speak French with a Leeds accent?
Oh yeah, like, je m'appelle. No, I try not to. Probably, I don't know, I always, you know, because when you hear sort of a French person speak English, it's with the French accent. I always wonder what an English accent in French sounds like, because you can't really ever hear it.
And I wonder if it's distinguishable between different parts of Britain, like Geordie would speak French, like with a Geordie accent, and that sort of thing.
I don't know. It would be really interesting. Anyway, so I was really nervous, and I spent about an hour sat with my flatmates, I was prepping my speech and whatever, and they were doing a bit of work, and they were playing Mario Kart. We've all got very into Mario Kart.
What's Mario Kart?
Yeah. You kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
I mean, this is what I was saying. I had never really played it because
I'm not a games guy.
No, and neither were my brother or my sisters. Like, we've never done video games really at all.
The tennis game or the Wii.
The Wii tennis we played a bit. And me and Anna and Martha had a dance mat, but.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but apart from that, we've never been into, the video games like a lot of families are and stuff. But Mario Kart is basically a driving game where you go around on a track. Literally every single other person listening to this will know exactly what Mario Kart is, I'm pretty sure. But you basically drive a little cart around different courses.
People of my generation listening, you won't have the slightest idea.
I bet they do. Email in if you've heard of Mario Kart or if you've not heard of it. So they were playing Mario Kart and I was doing my speech and whatever. And then I left to go to my seminar. I went to my seminar, didn't end up even getting to do my speech because they said I was going to have to do it next lesson because they didn't get through everyone, which was annoying because I just sat there nervous for the hour.
Have you done it now?
No, I'll do it on Thursday. Mm. I came back to my flatmates, still sat there playing Mario Kart. They'd been playing Mario Kart for about the last sort of 2.5 hours or something between when I left and when I came back, trying to unlock the new roads for me to cheer me up after I'd had to do my presentation.
Oh, is that good? So you can unlock new
like maps and stuff. That's what university life is. It's not really doing your work, nor going out and being wild and stuff. It's just a lot of playing Mario Kart in someone's room.
You realise what you said before? You said email us in if you know what Mario Kart is or if you don't know. So in other words, everybody. I mean, everybody.
See what I've done there.
Yes, either everybody knows what it is or doesn't know what it is. You have been out once or twice.
I have been out. I've not been out for the last three nights or something, which is quite a lot actually. Usually we'd go sort of every other or something. We'd go out too much, but anyway, not been out for a while. But I am going out tonight.
Cops and robbers
themed. There's always a theme. That's what there was a shit shirt theme one night. Didn't go to that, but. That was the theme.
Yeah, I get the theme.
Cops and robbers. It's the two teams, netball and football teams. And the girls in the netball team are robbers and the boys are cops. And you had to send in an embarrassing story or fact about yourself, which they're going to, I assume, read out and you'll have to guess whose it is and whatever. I don't think I can tell you my embarrassing story. Maybe I can. It is very funny, but I think you would be...
Outraged?
Surprised, it's not like
shocked.
I don't know.
Well nigh unshockable. Go on, tell us.
You think you're unshockable?
Yeah, more or
okay,
less.
Okay, so do you want me to tell you what I am? I wrote? It was my embarrassing story is that I fell asleep on the toilet in a club, and the bouncer had to get me out with a broom while I was asleep, pants down.
Did that really happen?
Yeah.
When I said I'm unshockable, that's sort of...
Has that shocked you?
Was mildly surprised.
I don't know what are you allowed to say that to your dad? Do you think?
What, the you?
I told Mum.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What did your Mum say?
She just said, Ruth.
Well,
gave me a knowing look.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Actually, it's interesting you're doing Cops and Robbers as your theme, because that's pretty old school. I was reading here that one of the new schools of fancy dresses, that you young people dress as baby boomers.
Oh, I would love to dress as a boomer.
Well, apparently that's what's happening now. People are dressing as boomers.
I don't quite know what I'd wear.
Well, according to this is for Halloween, and it was a boomer as a horror figure. And basically, you know that your child's going to dress as a boomer if they suddenly ask you to borrow your cardigan. Because the current buzz phrase is OK Boomer.
OK Boomer, yeah.
How do
you feel about OK Boomer? Someone used it for, which I quite enjoyed. So there's a boy in my flat who did a foundation year and then did a year of uni and then dropped out and came back and he's 21 or something, or 21 or 22, which obviously is ancient compared to 18 or 19 now, actually.
19, yeah.
And so someone called him, some people call him Boomer sometimes, which I think is quite funny. But we know, don't you?
Well, dressing as a Boomer, apparently, anything will do more or less. So you can borrow your dad's car or your granddad's cardigan, even better. Or spectacles, ideally on a chain. So spectacles on a chain around your neck.
I think that's a bit older than Boomer, though, you know.
Yeah, maybe. Anything from Marks and Spencer's Blue Harbour range or Per Una range.
Per Una, yeah, that is a bit very Boomery.
And a perma-cruise tan, as if you've been on cruises. A brochure for a second retirement home overseas. And a large pension pot and a sense of entitlement. That's what you need to be a
Boomer. Do you find it offensive, the OK Boomer thing?
No, not at all. I'm on board
with it. It's funny, isn't it, I think?
I'm actually on the fringe between a Boomer and a Gammon. I can't quite decide.
No, a Gammon is a Boomer.
Yeah, but on that subject...
Silent generation Boomer. That's like Grandma and Granddad are like silent generation, aren't they?
On that subject, there's an amusing thing somebody's put on my Facebook. And what it is it's a guy who has hacked in to the customer care department at huge stores like Tesco and JD Sports and all those sort of stores. And what he does is sends somebody complains about something and it comes to his account and he sends spoof replies to them. And it's absolutely hilarious. There was somebody complaining about that their local Tesco had been taken over by Asian Foods that had shelves. It could be our local Tesco here, but it had shelves of Asian food, shelves of kosher food, and all sorts of food. And he couldn't find something that he wanted.
I get the. I can see the email.
Yeah. So he emailed the fact that, you know, why are you putting all this foreign food in, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And this guy wrote a spoof reply. And I can't remember the reply, but I just remember it started, OK, Adolf. Cool. Which is
very
such a
good
great start.
Yeah. It was Remembrance Day a couple of days ago, wasn't it? And I was really surprised in that I didn't see anyone selling poppies at uni.
Really?
Yeah, I was really, genuinely really quite surprised. And I was in the library while it was on, so obviously kind of already silent, so that wasn't that big of a deal. And they
had the silence.
They did an announcement over the tannoy that just said, you know, at 11 o'clock we'll be silent for 2 minutes. You know, it's a classic thing. But I didn't hear anyone like playing the last post, and there was no veteran like came in to speak. Really? Didn't see really anyone. I don't think I saw anyone selling poppies. They're very well might have, but I didn't see anyone selling poppies or anything. And there was no veteran spoke. I didn't hear the last post being played or anything, and I was quite surprised because I did think that. You know, there is a, like, I'm sure there's a society of, sort of a, what do you call it?
Well, you would have some sort of CCF, that sort of thing, a cadet force.
Yeah, cadets, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure there's a society that's, like, cadets and, like, naval cadets and Air Force cadets and whatever. And I'm sure there was one of those kinds of societies, but I expected just to see more. And so I didn't know whether it was, like, maybe a sign, I could be reading too much into it, but just a sign that people are not that interested in Remembrance Day anymore, or like that maybe because I've seen a lot of stuff and I read a few things this Remembrance Day just talking about how it's like the glorification of war and also of colonialism and all that kind of stuff. And if you saw there was a big thing on Twitter of a girl who set a poppy on fire that kind of went
a bit viral.
Boy George was tweeting about it and all that kind of thing. I didn't know whether it was kind of a sign that sort of young people don't really care, or at least we don't think it's such a thing that should be celebrated.
It's interesting. Yeah. See, I would think there was a white poppy movement. So people who wanted to remember those who'd lost their lives, and of course they didn't declare war, they just went out and fought for their country. So people wanted to remember the people who'd lost their lives, but at the same time not glorify war.
Yeah.
And they somehow thought that the white poppy, and I would have thought within a university that there might have been a movement. The fact that people just didn't bother worries me a little bit.
I just didn't really see people wearing poppies. Or even my teachers, I was surprised.
Teachers weren't wearing poppies.
Yeah, do you have to wear, like, what is the rules for, like, TV? You have to wear it up to and including the day, or is it after the day as well?
I'll tell you the rules for TV. The rules for TV is I used to do a programme at Yorkshire, and it was pre-recorded, and I went in the middle of June, and they stuck a poppy on my jacket. They
just in case.
Because the programme's going out in November.
Yeah, yeah.
So they stuck a poppy on your jacket. And in TV...
I was surprised that none of my lecturers were wearing a poppy, through, like... actually the university being like, you have to wear one sort of thing. But yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, well, that does surprise me. It surprised me that there was no sort of debate about it, because there is I think Lily Allen has suggested that the song Rule Britannia, you know, great patriotic hymn, ought to be banned. And
I do understand where she's coming from, to be honest, because it is... You know, and it's the whole thing of, like, should you be proud to be from a country? Because you didn't do anything to get there or whatever. Especially with, like, the being proud to be British thing. Because if you look historically, there's nothing to be proud about. There's not particular thing.
Well, there is. Like the fact that we'd all be under the jackboot of the Nazis if it wasn't for Britain. We stood out when it was... I'm terribly proud of Britain. We won the World Cup.
But, like, you didn't do anything to be British. Like, how can you be proud of something you didn't...
Well, I'm proud of the people that did it, and you know, you can't expect to do everything yourself.
Yeah, no, I get that, but, like, it's hard to say. Oh, I'm proud of these things, but I'm also not proud of this thing. But then I'm proud of the country as a whole. Like,
well, I'll tell you why I'm proud of Britain, because I think that by and large we're a very tolerant country, and I'm proud of Britain because my grandparents came over here from being persecuted in Russia and Romania, and they came to this country, and this country welcomed them.
Yeah, you know? But then, like, they also, this country, you know, killed so many people and enslaved so many people, and like. In Africa and India and stuff, and even America to an extent, really.
Well, yes.
You know, I'm just saying it's difficult, isn't it?
But I think as colonial powers go, we were no better or worse than the Belgians, the Dutch and various other colonial powers. That was the way the world was organised at the time. And we did play a big part in abolishing slavery. You know,
yeah,
William Wilberforce.
Yeah.
So I think
I don't feel particularly proud to be British. And I think if you were to do a survey of university students, I think most of them would probably say they weren't that proud to be British. I'm proud to be Northern. I'm proud to be from Leeds. Like, those things I feel more proud about. But actually British, I'm not sure.
Well, you say that. I mean, what did you do?
I think it's a thing of, like, if you've been, not persecuted, that's completely the wrong word, but, like, you know, if you've been sort of in the North generally, you don't get as good as, like, funding or whatever, like, things like that, or you don't see people in politics in it as much or whatever, then generally you can
be more. They are now.
But that's what I mean, like, you can be proud of it afterwards because there's been something to overcome or whatever. Do you get what I mean? Whereas Britain's always been like...
Well, no, I mean, and when you look at the scientific advances, the Industrial Revolution started in Britain. You know, James Watt, the steam engine, Arkwright's spinning jenny, you know, revolutionised production of cloth and all that sort of stuff. So not everything's to be proud of, not everything's to be proud of now, but I think by and large... My view, well, you know how patriotic I am. I think this is a great little country. I even bet patriotically, you know, I'll always back England when they're in the World Cup.
Yeah.
So,
That's like one of the things is that, like, you do feel it was exciting when the World Cup was on. You really wanted to win. You were proud of them when they succeeded or whatever.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I was surprised not to have seen more kind of like talks or something. There's not really that many, like, I was expecting there to be more, like, big public debates when I got to university. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone go to Central Hall and there's three people saying that poppies are, you know, a sign of colonialism and the glorification of war, and three people saying that, no, they're to celebrate the people who have died or, like, and remember them. And I'm surprised there's not more of that kind of thing.
Do you not have debates of some sort? Or do you think you?
I mean, maybe they do, just like in the politics department, and maybe it's being a fresher. Yeah, maybe it's that as well. Had the elections, the by-elections of the people for like the rep,
the well-being,
for the well-being rep, the rep of the bar, whatever, those kind of things. But again, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but. Dolly Alderton wrote in her book that, you know, she was surprised that it wasn't more of a hub of political activity.
Yeah. I think as far as Remembrance Day goes, I mean, I'm surprised that there weren't people against it. You know, I'm not surprised that maybe there's not that much interest as there used to be. And I suppose because it started after the First World War, and as the First World War recedes into distant history, it's almost like, in a way, commemorating Agincourt or something. You know, it's a long time ago. So I suppose there is that. And you know, you're also supposed to be remembering people who've died in conflicts like the Falklands and Afghanistan and such like. And probably people don't know enough about those things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you know about the Falklands?
Well, from what I've heard, we're pretty in the wrong with the Falklands, aren't we?
No, not really.
We just have it as a colony and stuff.
Well, it's more of a protectorate, and we were protecting them.
Yeah, but if they wanted to leave, we kind of should have let them, right?
No, it wasn't that they wanted to leave. It was Argentina had a claim on claiming the Falklands historically, whereas historically it wasn't. Their claim wasn't altogether just, to put it that way.
I don't know enough about it, so.
No, clearly not, which is why one of the reasons, if you don't know enough about the recent conflicts, well, then possibly your fellow students are like you and don't know enough either to take a stand on it. But I bought two poppies, actually.
Did you?
Two of those enamel ones, but they were selling them on the train. They were selling them in Sainsbury's. So
there you go. Yeah, I don't think they sold them in the little shop that's on campus either.
No. Should we do the emails? A couple of emails from the regular emailers. Donna McManus. This is on the subject of your accent. We'll learn more about that in a sec. Donna says, Ruth, you have lovely Leeds northern accent. Who are these posh southerners taking the mickey out of your accent? Tell them to do one. Do people still tell people to do one?
Is that
still current? Good. I agree with an email from one of your listeners saying it's quite something to go up north and comment on northerners' accents. Who are these people?
In fairness, some of them are not even northerners, really. So it's a lot of the East, the Midlands, like, you know, like Birmingham?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's from Birmingham doesn't sound like they're from Birmingham. So then they're always like, oh, your accent's weird.
Right, so they're people who are speaking received English.
Yeah, it's these people who are just speaking, I mean, normally, I guess, is the...
No, we don't say normal.
Not normally. It's received pronunciation, isn't it?
But received pronunciation.
Like how people do on the TV, I guess.
Yeah. When I went to Leeds University as a Londoner, one of the best things was meeting and hearing all the new accents. So much better than my boring North London one, says Donna. Highlights being some from Sunderland, which I assumed on first hearing was Newcastle, of course. Everybody accuses. It's rather like anybody from New Zealand are accused of being Australians.
Mm.
Didn't I tell you that one that was in Viz comic years ago where it said...
I don't think so. You probably have.
It was a top tip. It said, New Zealanders, fed up with being confused with Australians? Well, don't talk like them then. Bolton and Lancashire, she said, and I assume the piss-taking is just done in jest.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you're enjoying uni, so thank you for that.
I enjoy the piss-taking as well, actually.
Yes. David Sharrett says, hello, Martin and Ruth. Too embarrassing to say how much he's enjoying the podcast, but he really is enjoying it. He says, Ruth's Yale joke made me laugh. As a crony, I remember Martin telling a similar one years ago. Indeed, like father, like daughter. So you've sort of ingested that joke.
It's worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, it is worrying for you. I approve of the Hefner fancy dress. Yes, it was surprising, but Ruth could have chosen worse, like Prince Harry, who, if you remember, dressed up as a Nazi.
Yes.
So you didn't do that.
In fairness, right, to Prince Harry, like, probably not the best choice, but hilarious.
Yeah. Thoughts, you know. That is the thing about, I suppose, because it's slightly shocking and in
just
questionable
funny,
taste.
It?
Whatever you do, you can tell from the satirical films that have been made over the years, and that Downfall thing that goes on YouTube, have you seen that?
No.
Well, there was a film called Downfall. It's a great German film where Hitler's losing the war, and he's sitting in the war room with his generals.
Right.
And people...
Must
have seen it.
Yeah.
And people put different audio on it.
Yes, I have seen that.
Seems to be, you know, football supporters do it a lot. So you might have Hitler there and he'll be saying, what are we going to do about the defence? And then they'll all be supporting Spurs or whatever and say, what's wrong with the defence?
Nothing's off limits, I don't think, in terms of joking. As long as it's funny. That is the main issue.
It's got to be funny. Also, a city centre university campus, as well as being just like Love Island, he says it's rather like the olden days, the now old-fashioned way of working just a few streets away from where you live, so that sort of thing.
You know what I think it is like commute. More than that, even? Mm. Is it Fuca? I think someone told me this. Fuca, who wrote that every community is like prison.
We ought to spell out Foucault. It's Foucault.
Yeah. Wait, how are you... Am I saying it right then?
Yeah, Foucault. It's French.
Yeah.
He's a philosopher.
Yeah, yeah. And he said everything's like prison, which I do understand that as well.
Everything's like prison.
Every like community, like schools, workplaces, they're all like prison. His theory, so Foucault came up with this theory, he traces cultural shifts that led to the dominance of prison via the body and power. But anyway, what he goes on to say is that prison uses the disciplines, and these can also be found in places such as schools, hospitals and military barracks. And I think definitely universities and Love Island.
And Love Island,
they have
well.
The same prison aspects and prison feel of just intense relationships that are formed by close proximity. Kind of like being on an aeroplane as well, actually.
It's a good point, actually. It's rules, because I was saying this last night to somebody, that I was in hospital for about 3 weeks, and by the time the 3 weeks ended, obviously I did want to go home, but I almost didn't want to go home because I'd got so used to the
That's why people go back to prison all the time. And I would imagine it's a similar thing in people who just stay in sort of academia for the rest of their lives, you know, just go and do a PhD or do a master's and PhD and then become lecturers or whatever, because it's very comforting to have all of everything you know right around you.
And especially,
I don't think it's incredibly healthy. I'm not sure. Speaking of things that are not healthy, I don't think. There's really good facilities at the university. Really like going in. The library's really nice. You can go and sit in there. There's areas where you can do sort of like group work and independent work. It's really good, really good facilities and stuff. But the library is open 24 hours, which on the surface is like, wow, that's great. You can go whenever you want. You can go early in the morning or whatever. But if you really think about it, why should you be encouraging students to go to the library from 2 till 4 a.m. in the morning? Like, it shouldn't be open 24 hours. That's not, you know, you're not made to do that.
Of course it should be open 24 hours, because you don't have to go at 2
No, I know, but like, why? But then they, you know, people do go because it is 24 hours, so people pull all-nighters and just work there all night and stuff.
Well, students will always do that, and the fact there's a library open. Tell me, what's better at 2 o'clock in the morning? Sitting in the library doing some work, or being pulled off a nightclub toilet with a broom?
Oh, look. Oh, see, I told you. I knew I should have told you the story. Oh, see?
But the fact that it's there, I think, is a good thing. Is there somebody doing night work, actually?
There'll be staff there through the night. Not as many, obviously.
That's great.
It is good, but
because
I don't know.
Because students are pulled all nighters all the time.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure I will.
I'm sure you will. Don't forget you're only in the first year. Mm. And people tell me in the first year.
Mine does, though, because it's different, because I'm doing that,
Spanish.
Most the first year doesn't count. You only have to pass the first year, 40%.
Is that all?
Which apparently gets more and more you start the year, apparently, and you think, oh, 40%, that's less than half, easy. And then as the year progresses, it gets more and more unattainable.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A little bit of music?
Yes, it is.
We'll start with yours this week.
So I've chosen a song that's called Rom-Com Gone Wrong. And it's a new song, came out on November the 8th as part of the Crystal album by Matt Maltese.
No shame, I'm dead without her. Her veins, her face, some things you can't erase. Take trains and watch the weather.
A little bit vanilla, would you say malt Maltese?
Matt Maltese.
Matt Maltese.
No, I don't think so. I think
did I call him? Malt Maltese?
I don't know what you called him. Malteser. No, I think it's really, really good. And I guess it depends what you mean by vanilla. Like, are we going to call everything that's sort of soft vanilla? Do you know what I mean? That's
no,
not...
Yeah, no, fair point. But yeah, it just,
fair point, Dad.
Yeah, fair point. I've said fair point. I've conceded that. It just sounds to me...
It's just great... Great lyrics, great tunes.
Yes, what's it all about? It's a great title, Rom-Com Gone Wrong.
What's the song all about? I don't know.
It's about a rom-com gone wrong. Is he English?
He is from South London, British, but he's only 22. Yeah. British, but born to Canadian parents. It was described as love songs for the end of the world. That's what NPR said. And Noisy labelled Matt as a teenage Jarvis Cocker if he'd spent more time at the Windmill Pub in Brixton and was in a better mood.
Right.
So it's very melancholy music, but it is lovely and it's nice to have on in the background and stuff.
Right.
It's good, very good train music.
Well, I've got a train track. The track I've got is called...
God, it's as if we planned it.
It almost is, isn't it? This is called City of New Orleans.
Good morning, America.
So that's Arlo Guthrie. Have you heard of Arlo Guthrie?
No.
But you'll have
sounds
heard
a bit like Woody Guthrie.
Well, it's Woody Guthrie's son. So
oh, there you go.
It's entitled
it's highly
to.
Influenced.
Arlo Davy Guthrie, born July 10th, 1947. And I was just thinking it must have been difficult for Arlo Guthrie because his dad was such a huge figure, you know, obviously influencing, but not
Bob Dylan.
Yeah, maybe not just a huge figure on his own, but influencing Bob Dylan like that.
But he kind of is, though, like this land, like...
Yeah. So when your dad,
I really like Woody Guthrie.
Yeah. Well, when your dad is such an iconic figure, and
yeah, that must be really hard.
You must find it really hard.
I know. I was wondering when that was coming. I could hear it just from the start.
Yes. Anyway, like his father, Woody Guthrie, he is known for singing songs of protest against social injustice. But he did his most famous. Well, that's probably his most famous song. That was his biggest hit, "City of New Orleans," which is a train. It's an Amtrak passenger train. It operates on an
over... So that's a Lord Sugar Amtrak.
No, this was Amstrad.
I know, it was a joke.
All right. Amtrak is the American rail company, you know all about that. And the... I mean, it wasn't originally Amtrak. It goes way back, way back. The original City of New Orleans began in 1947 as part of the Illinois Central Railroad and was the longest day outrun in the United States. It now goes overnight from Chicago to New Orleans. So it's a bit like that Gladys Knight song we always like when she's going...
Midnight Train to Georgia.
Although this one's New Orleans. And that was his only top 40 hit. Didn't write that one himself, but he did write a brilliant 18-minute, 20-second track.
But you decided not to play it.
Well, it's picking 20 seconds out of an 18-minute, 20-second track is sort of like... And it's a talking blues. It's called Alice's Restaurant Massacre. And it's a talking... It's drug-related, 67. He was very much in the 60s, you know.
Psychedelic stuff.
Yeah, he was... Not psychedelic, but the sort of pop and protest of the 60s, Flower Children, San Francisco and all that. But you're pleased to know that he now has a very nice life. He's got four children... Bunches of grandchildren, loads of them. Everybody's in the music business, everybody in the Guthrie family. And, they, you know, right down to the grandchildren. So there are new Guthries.
Genuinely really pleased. How much would you love to be like Woody Guthrie's granddaughter or whatever?
And they all sit around in his ranch that he's got, Arlo Guthrie. And because he's been in films as well, but mainly music.
What a guy.
And just, you know, what a guy. Great guy. And that was City of New Orleans. David, I think it was. Yeah, David, who suggested other songs which might play next week. Are you familiar with the work of Billy Bragg?
Billy Bragg. I've heard of him, but I'm not...
We'll play one of his next week
teaser.
Bit of a teaser.
And if you do want to send us an email with a song suggestion or anything else, it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Well remembered, because I keep forgetting and then we don't get any.
Yeah.
It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you are wanting to listen to the songs from this week in full and all the others from all the other weeks, then just type in Ruthie, Me and My Dad or Martin and Ruth, and that'll get you to the Spotify playlist. So yeah, type that in on Spotify.
Any more tales from uni?
I was Boxer of the Week, Dad.
You were Boxer of the Week?
Boxer of the Week. Well, okay, so I've used some poetic license by saying Boxer of the Week, because they don't do a Boxer of the Week. But
if they did...
No, so at the end of the session, it was like, so you've got to, let me paint you a picture.
Well, for people who've not been listening all along, you've been going to boxing on a Saturday morning.
I've been like three times. I've not been going like really religiously, but I've been like three times, which is pretty good. I've never done it before.
You're not Nicola Adams yet.
Not yet, but you know, I'm hoping I'll get there. But because it's quite fun, it's really good exercise, and it's, you know, it's fun to do with your friends or whatever. Like, it's nice. So I've been going to that a bit, and I went last Saturday. Imagine the room. There's about four girls. We've never like done it before. So me and two of my friends and this other girl. And then there's about six, eight boys, whatever, who are, you know, they've done it before. They're here to properly box. They bring their own gloves. They've got those little mini gloves inside their gloves. And he's a guy from like the England coaching team or something that they get in on a Saturday. So he's like quite serious, and we learn, he teaches us the little combos and the boys like can do it properly or whatever, and then he'll come round and go over it again.
But combos, you mean combination of punches?
Yeah. And we'll do it and it'll be good and whatever, and we're all trying and stuff. But you know, we're not professionals at all. And then he'll always be like, oh, are you planning on fighting or whatever? And we're like, no, we're just here to like be fit. We're not doing fight nights or deciding on, sparring with people or anything like that. We just do it with each other. And then at the end of the session, he's like, I never usually do this, but I just wanted to, really good work this week, and I never usually do this, but I just wanted to pick out someone who was very impressive. Then he spins around and he points at me. I'm clearly like the worst in the room, because the two girls who I go with have been like one more time than me, so they know one more session's worth. And I'm also have no hand-eye coordination. And he was like, you've thrown yourself into it, not cared. And I was like, and my face just went bright red in front of all these boys who are like actual boxers, and he's saying how great it is, and I don't doubt that he actually did think it was really good that I'd tried my hardest or whatever, but you can just imagine these other boys being like, oh, for God's sake.
It's quite impressive though, that, you know, a young little fresher like yourself.
I've been, most of the people there are freshers, I think, so I thought I'd let you know that I'm
Boxer of the Week.
I'm Nicola Adams.
Well, she's just retired. There is a vacancy.
Can you believe how old she is?
37.
You told me? Yeah. 37.
I know.
I told people
you know,
I was
like,
37.
It took a long time to get national fame, which, you know, bless her, she did.
Yeah, she's such an inspiration. Mm,
but she's now retired, so there's
a... there's a gap in the market.
There's a hell of a gap in the market there. Here was something that I noticed in the papers. It was in the Times the other day, their education correspondent. Fewer than half of students consistently support freedom of speech, and two-fifths favour censorship and no platforming of controversial speakers, research has shown. It says a culture of conformity may also be having an effect on undergraduates who are often too intimidated to espouse unpopular views on campus. This is according to a report by the Policy Exchange think tank. It's sort of what we sort of suspected anyway.
And it's not just the political correctness thing, which I think sometimes people can go a bit kind of grasp onto that and say this is why it is and this is why it is and whatever. But I think it's also a thing of it. There's been studies on it that our generation, this Gen Z, which are starting to go to university now in the last sort of 2 years or so, are more conservative than any generation that has gone before them. I don't know whether it's because we live in especially tumultuous times that there's been no need to
but it's a
make more.
It's a different sort of
stuff.
Conservatism. I think by
it's
that,
not. It's not conservatism as in less liberal. I think we're very liberal. It's in...
Well, no.
In, like, keep you...
Not according to this, you're not. I mean, I think...
It's more like a keep yourself to yourself kind of conservativeness.
Yes, I think, obviously, the big driver of all this has been the fees and the fact that do you have time to protest against the Vietnam War like we did? When you know that if you do that, maybe a lecture that's costing you whatever... People have worked it out.
Yeah, it's like 300 quid a lecture for some people or whatever.
300 quid or whatever. You're more reluctant to do that. that. I can absolutely see that. But this is the thing that interests me. Undergraduates are often too intimidated to espouse unpopular views on campus. Now, if you sincerely held the view that A, Britain should leave the EU, B, that there should be no tax rises. Like, I think you spoke to one of your people that you know took the view that tax was too high and everything.
Yeah.
And I suspect that was very unpopular. I think
well,
you told me at the time.
No, but then I was saying it wasn't really. It was like there was a group of like eight of us or something.
And you were about talking about politics.
Yeah, we were talking about five of us were like, yeah, people who are rich should can be afford to be taxed more, and they should be because it needs to fund proper stuff and whatever. And then there's about three people, or maybe even more, like it was quite an even split, who were saying like, it's your money, you should get to keep your money, which I kind of do understand, but
so
I always...
So people aren't afraid to espouse those views?
Not, I mean, not in like a sort of, that was like in like a pub setting, do you know what I mean? Like just... chats over drinks.
But if,
or whatever.
If you walk around,
but I don't know how.
Yeah, I was
going to
say if you walked around
about
university
like,
and said, you know, you were a Tory, for instance.
But then there was a Tory society at the fair, and they looked very confident. They were stretched out along a big long table and stuff. I don't know whether it's just we feel nervous to do things. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but it's the no platforming, I think, which I always find very difficult. We won't discuss that again because we discussed that before. You know, the fact that people who want to come and give an alternative view, you know, view to the liberal view,
are like frozen out.
They're frozen out, which we've mentioned before. And I just thought, if you know, in amongst yourself and in your kitchen there, I know you haven't got a table. Have you still not got a table?
Nope. Cosby, there's nowhere to put the table. That's the problem. We've spoken about getting a fold-out table.
Did you send an open letter? You were going to send an open letter.
Oh, I've not finished it. I am planning on it, though.
Yeah. This is a sort of like a Dreyfus affair. You know, this is like a Jacques Hughes, which was a very...
Jacques Hughes, yeah. No, I remember the... Well, no, I don't remember it. Yeah, should have done it, but yeah.
But this was going to be a call to arms, really.
Tables, that's what we want.
I know.
Don't care about Brexit.
No.
I want a table.
You want a table in the kitchen because you have to take your food away. But
did have a funny email there today regarding accommodation.
All right.
Well, I don't know whether it actually is funny. Who knows? But it was just said pest control in your accommodation block. Dear resident, we have received a number of reports from residents on the ground floor of your building for pest control jobs related to rat activity. They said that they didn't find any rats, but they've put some... they're checking more of the entry routes and they're putting poison that's been left out for them, but you need to make sure you don't put any pots. So what should you do is just wash any pots, pans and cutlery after finishing eating your meals, clean up any crumbs or spillages as soon as they happen, keep your kitchen bin closed. This one I take offence to. Our kitchen bins don't have lids, so I don't know how they want them closed. And empty it every day, even if it's not full. If any water leaks occur, report them straight away. And seal your food properly and keep it in airtight containers if it's not in your fridge or freezer.
Yeah. And they've put poison down for the
They
rats.
Have put poison. But apparently they say there's not any rats, so who knows?
But do the students not object and think that the rats should be rehabilitated into polite society rather than being poisoned?
I mean, I'll tell you what, they... The rats
Especially
deserve better than our than our accommodation, I'd say.
Really.
Yeah.
Do you have a meme for us, Ruth?
I do. Well, I have a tweet. I have a funny tweet. So that was what I was going to go for. Yeah. Pitbull could be anywhere right now. He's Mr. Worldwide. He could be in Brazil or your basement. You just never know.
Who's
do you know who? Oh, you see, it's ruined if you don't know who Pitbull is.
I think he's a rapper, by the
way. He's not a rapper. He's just like a pop. Pop guy, he makes club tunes. Really, you'll recognise some of the songs, to be honest. And he calls himself Mr. Worldwide.
Right, and he could be in your basement right now.
Or Brazil.
Yeah, or Brazil.
Just never know.
Your rats. Yeah.
There you go.
Good. It didn't mean a lot to me that, but
someone will enjoy it.
Yeah, someone will enjoy it. If you did enjoy it, get in touch with
that meant nothing to you, but that had 69,000 likes.
Ridiculous.
70,000 actually.
I mean, I've put stuff funnier than that on Twitter.
Well, you say that.
And I've never had 69,000 likes. If I get a couple of hundred, I'm absolutely over the moon. So, if you want to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
And we'll see you again next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more.
Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.